Welcome. Today, we're discussing an interesting content about a really big question. Why aren't smart people happier?
Oh, I love this topic. Because intuitively, you'd think they absolutely would be, right? All our cultural messaging points that way.
Exactly. We have this definition of intelligence as this incredible mental capability. You know, the ability to reason, plan, solve problems, learn from experience. It sounds like a superpower for life.
It really does. You'd assume someone with more of that mental horsepower would just solve the problem of being unhappy. They'd figure it out.
Right, but the data says nope. Meta-analyses find basically no link or a teeny tiny one. One survey mentioned in the piece, the General Social Survey, looked at 50 years of data and found that people who scored higher on a vocabulary test were actually a tiny bit less happy.
Less happy? That's wild. So what's the theory? Are the intelligence tests just broken? I mean, they have a pretty dark and complicated history.
That's the first place your mind goes, and the author definitely touches on that. The history of IQ testing is bleak with all its biases, but the article argues that even if the tests just measure something like willingness to try hard or ability to succeed in an unfair system, that only deepens the mystery.
How so?
Well, shouldn't people who are more willing to try hard or better at navigating the system end up happier? You'd think that would lead to a better life, however you define it. So the paradox remains.
Okay, so if it's not just the tests, what is it? Where did we go wrong in our thinking?
The author points the finger at one guy, Charles Spearman, way back in 1904. He noticed that kids who did well in one school subject, like math, also tended to do well in others, like French. He figured there must be some general intelligence underlying everything.
Ah, the famous G factor. That's a foundational idea in psychology.
It is. And here's the brilliant twist in the article. Spearman's stats were sound, but his interpretation was flawed. He didn't realize that all those different subjects, math, French, vocabulary, were actually testing the same kind of thinking.
The same kind? How are math and French the same?
They are both what the author calls well-defined problems. Think about it. They have stable rules, clear boundaries, and there's no disagreement about whether you've solved them. 2 + 2 is always 4. A vocabulary word has a correct synonym.
Okay, I see. A right answer exists, and you just have to find it. Like a game of chess.
Exactly. Chess is the perfect example. But then you have the other category, poorly defined problems. And this is basically all of life.
That sounds about right. Give me some examples.
How do I find someone to spend my life with? Should I be a dentist or a dancer? How do I get my child to stop crying? What do I do when my parents get old? These questions don't have a single right answer. The rules change, the boundaries are fuzzy, it's messy.
And getting better at rotating shapes in your mind on an IQ test doesn't help you with any of that. The skills are completely non-transferable.
Precisely. The skill set for solving well-defined problems, which is what we call intelligence, has almost no bearing on your ability to solve the poorly defined problems that actually determine your happiness. Life ain't chess.
You know, the article gives some pretty stunning examples of this disconnect. These people with off-the-charts IQs who just couldn't solve the problem of how to be a decent functional person.
Oh, it's jaw-dropping. It mentions people like Bobby Fischer, a chess genius who was also a virulent anti-Semite and Holocaust denier. Or professors at top universities who make life-altering blunders. They are masters of the well-defined, but that mastery provides zero protection from failing at the poorly defined.
And it shows up on a societal scale, too. The chart in the article is amazing. For decades, our IQ scores have gone up. We've solved huge technical problems, but the happiness line is just flat.
Totally flat. We eradicated smallpox. We landed on the moon. We got smarter. But none of it made us collectively happier. Solving a bunch of well-defined problems, it turns out, doesn't add up to happiness.
So this must have huge implications for how we think about artificial intelligence, right? AI is all about problem solving.
It's a perfect lens for it. the author argues that AI is, and probably always will be, a master of well-defined problems. It can beat us at chess, it can fold proteins, it can drive a car. These are incredibly complex, but they have rules and defined goals.
But what about the creative stuff, like GPT-3 writing a movie script? That feels poorly defined.
It's a clever trick. Under the hood, the AI isn't solving the poorly defined problem of write a great story. It's solving the well-defined problem of predict the most statistically likely next word. It's pattern matching, just on a gigantic scale. It has no wisdom, no understanding of the human condition.
So you could never ask an AI, how should I live a good life, and get a meaningful answer?
Never. For that, you need a human. Which brings us to the author's final, and I think most beautiful point.
The shout out to the grandma?
Yes. We have all these fancy titles and admiration for people who are good at well-defined problems. We call them doctor, professor, genius. We give them awards.
But there's no Nobel Prize for being a good person or raising a loving family.
Exactly. The author's grandma might not be able to figure out the TV remote, a simple, well-defined problem. But she knows how to carry on through tragedy, how to make people feel loved, how to build a family. She's a genius at solving poorly defined problems.
And we call that folksy wisdom, or something condescending, instead of recognizing it as a profound and separate form of intelligence.
We do, and it's to our own detriment. The article ends with this powerful idea. If you spend your whole life trying to solve life's problems with cleverness, when what you really need is wisdom, you'll wonder why you're not getting any happier.
So the takeaway is, value wisdom as much as, or maybe even more than, cleverness.
I think so. Stop trying to optimize everything and instead, go listen to someone who has truly lived. It's a fantastic thought to end on. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time.
Goodbye.